for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Friday afternoon service of August the 29th, 1997, of the Labor Day Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Null is the speaker for the afternoon.
Dr. Null comes here every camp meeting, has for a long time, and he's eventually going to make arrangements so he won't have to drive to get here every camp meeting. By that I mean he'll be closer by. he's been coming here for many years, and he and the Coffees have turned over to them basically the teaching of deliverance and the ministry of deliverance, and they have successfully taken that place, and we appreciate it, and we appreciate Dr. Noe coming down here from his medical practice every camp meeting and putting in the time to be here and for the morning prayer meetings, and then to help with their other deliverance services, whatever, wherever he's needed. We appreciate that.
Good evening. Let's all stand, please. Oh, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord. Oh, Lord, we come to you now, Lord God. We come to you in absolute submission, Lord, to you and to your healing and delivering power. For you are the healer and you are the deliverer, Lord. We just hold this session up to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just ask that your true word come out, Lord God. Lord, we bind any spirits that would hinder the hearing of your word, Lord. We bind any spirits of stupor, Lord God. We bind the enemy that would steal the word. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we hold it up to you now, Lord, for your glory. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Last Memorial Day, I did a teaching on the sins of the fathers. And this is a teaching on inherited curses that come down through the family line. And today I would like to slightly review that, and then I have something that a revelation that came to me on my way down here. And I'd like to share it with you as much as I can. Let's look first at Exodus chapter 34, verse 5 to 7. Now this is a revelation of the nature of God. It is said that recapitulation is a part of teaching. So we will go over, we'll review the tape that I did on Memorial Day. If you don't have it, I would suggest that you get it and listen to it. Because we carry a great deal of bondage, a great deal of the things that we consider part of ourselves, just the way we are. Our father was that way, our grandfather was that way, our mother was that way, our grandmother was that way, and we figure that's just the way we are, and in reality, it is a curse. It's a demonic curse that's come down through the family line and continues to torment you. You say, well, my family's always had a short temper, prone to rage and violence. My family's always been sarcastic. You know, that's just the way we are. My family's always told tall tales and been great tale tellers and liars. And that's just the way our family is. And those are demonic forces that have come down through the family line as a result of inherited curses. I could go on and give examples all day long. But anything that's in your life that is ungodly, it's not godly to lie. It's not godly to have anger and rage. It's not godly to be sarcastic. That grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication depart from your mouth, only that which is good and provides the necessary edification and bears grace to the hearer." And don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Let all clamoring and bitterness and anger and rage and evil speaking and malice depart from you. But be ye kind one to another, forgiving as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. You have those problems in your life and you can't get rid of them. You say they've been in my family. Then you need deliverance from family curses, the sins of the fathers. So let's look at Exodus chapter 34. Verse 5, "Then the Lord descended in a cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed the name of the Lord." What's happening here? Moses has taken the second set of stone tablets and he's gone back up on the mountain. And God descends in front of him and proclaims his name. Now you have to realize that the name of God is his nature. The nature of God is proclaimed in his name. The same is true of Jesus Christ. It is his nature when you proclaim his name. And when you say in the name of Jesus, you're saying in Jesus' nature and character. Well, that's another teaching that we need to go into sometimes. But it's more than just speaking the name of Jesus. Like faith is more than just a mental assertion. A mental acceptance. Faith is much more than that. And then saying something in the name of Jesus is much more than just saying in the name of Jesus. Because the heathen do that. The seven sons of Sceva said in the name of Jesus. And the demon jumped on them and stripped them naked and they fled from the house naked and wounded. Praise your Lord Jesus. Okay, let's go. And they proclaim the name of God. "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed," and this is the nature of God now, verse 6, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty," it says in the King James. In the New American Standard, it says by no means leaving the guilty unpunished. It's what that means in Old English. "Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation." Now, there are just lots of verses for that. I've got seven of them listed here in my margin. Deuteronomy 5. Exodus 20, 4-6, Numbers 14-18, Jeremiah 32-18, Isaiah 65-7, Amos 4-2, Lamentations 5:7-18. It's in God's nature. Fortunately, he has provided a remedy so that you don't have to live under the curse. He provides a remedy in Jesus Christ, and we will come to that. So that I don't put you under condemnation. But let us review some of the things that the sins of the fathers will do to you. And let's just sort of look over at Lamentations. Now, Lamentations comes right after Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the great prophet Jeremiah, sat and viewed the destroyed city and wept. And he wrote a beautiful poem. And we're going to look at the last portion of that poem. Chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Our fathers sinned and are no more, but we bear their iniquities." We bear their iniquities. Jeremiah is saying, our fathers have sinned, but we are bearing the evil consequences of their rebellion. Iniquity means rebellion and all its evil consequences. He said, we're bearing the consequences of their rebellion. Servants rule over us. That's bondage. There's none to deliver from their hand. Thank God that's not true anymore. Jesus Christ is your deliverer, your healer, your baptizer in the Holy Ghost, and your coming King. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. Jesus, come, Lord. Oh, come, Lord. Oh, God, come. We get bread at the risk of our lives, poverty, because of the sword in the wilderness. Our skin is hot as an oven because of the fever of famine. They're sick and they're running out of raging temperature because they've been starved and they don't have any resistance to disease. They ravish the women in Zion. The women have been raped. The maidens in the cities of Judah. Princes were hung up by their hands and the elders were not respected. Abuse. Young men grind the millstones and boys stagger under a load of wood. Hard labor. The elders have ceased gathering at the gate, the young men from their music. They're isolated. They have isolation. They don't get together anymore. The joy of our heart is ceased, and our dance is turned to mourning, sadness, and heaviness. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us with sin. They're fallen on the ground. Because of this, our heart is faint. Faint-heartedness. Because of this, our heart is faint. Because of these things, our eyes grow dim. Blindness. Because of Mount Zion, which is desolate with foxes walking on it, you live in desolation. And so you have bondage, poverty, and infirmity. That's three. Rape is four. Abuse is five. Hard labor is six. Isolation is seven. Heaviness and sadness is eight. Fallen is nine. Blindness is ten. Desolation is 11. 11 things. Derek Prince says when you start counting in the spirit, perfect number is 7 or 11. Those are the seven things there. Now I want you to look at something else, though. I want you to look at something else that can come as a sin of the Father. I want you to look at 1 Samuel. Turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Yeah, up until this time, God had been king of Israel. God had been the king. He appointed judges to rule for him. He appointed prophets and judges to rule for a period of 400 years. And then he appointed a great prophet, Samuel. And Samuel ruled, but Samuel's children did not walk in the same way Samuel did, which is such a sad thing, so many anointed leaders, that their children, Eli's children, didn't walk as he walked, and Eli did not rebuke them. Samuel's children did not walk the way he did. And so let's see what it says here. Chapter 8, verse 1. Now it came to pass when Samuel was old, he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of the secondborn was Abijah. And they were judges in Beersheba. But his son did not walk in his ways, and they turned aside the dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. And said to him, look, you're old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the other nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people in all they say, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me. According to all the works which they have done since the day I brought them out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods. Now, if you go back and you read the book of Judges, you will find that they went into bondage a number of times, each time a little longer. And then when they cried out to God, he sent a judge to deliver them. And so they are doing to you also. Now therefore heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them. Look at verse 10. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people and who asked for a king. And he said, this will be that behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots to be his horsemen, and some will run before his chariots. Now, when you turn from God and reject him and serve another god, the god of money, the god of self, the god of lust, the gods of this world, says he will take your sons away from you, and he will appoint them to run before his chariots and to do his labor. He will appoint captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and he will set some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest, and to some make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. We see this in this country today. We have ungodly men who've been pulled away. They were raised by godly parents who turned away from the living God. Now they're raised up in positions of authority. They appointed captains over the hundreds and captains over the fifties and captains over the thousands. You see them if you have a job. You see them in the industry of our nation. You set them to plow the ground. Well, to plow the ground means to work in his industries. And remember what, let's look over him while we just hold your finger there and let's go over to 1 John. In case some of you don't understand who rules the world, who rules this world system. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. Starting with verse 10, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who is born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. But we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the lap of the evil one. This whole world system lies in the lap of the evil one. And so he's going to use some of them to reap his, plow his ground and to reap his harvest. That means working his factories and to run his banking system. To reap the harvest of the money coming in. Now, God says that they're heaping it up for the righteous. That the righteous, that the evil, the wicked heap up the wealth of the world for the righteous. But yet they're heaping it up. And they will take your sons and do this to them. And will make some equipments for his chariots. And he'll take your daughters to be perfumed. And cooks and bakers. Now, why would he want to perfume your daughters? Well, let's keep your finger there and go over to Hosea. Hosea chapter 4. And here we have another curse from God for idolatry, turning away from God. Results of it. And it's, verse 11 says, harlotry, wine, and new wine will enslave the heart. The people ask counsel of their wooden idols, and their staff informs them. That's divination. And the spirit of whoredom has caused them to stray. And they have played the whore against their God. And they offer sacrifices on the mountaintops and burn incense on the hills. Therefore, your daughters will become harlots, and your brides will commit adultery. And he goes on to say that the men will do the same thing, that he won't punish them because the men have gone again to whoredom also. And so he's going to perfume them and make them cooks and bakers. And he'll take the best of your fields and your vineyards and your olive groves and give them to his servants. And take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers. He's going to take everything you've got that's worthwhile. He'll take the best of everything. And that's what the devil does when you turn from the living God. Verse 18, you will cry out in that day because your king who you've chosen for yourselves. In other words, when your family has rejected God and chosen another king, the Lord will not hear you in that day. And so you can see that if you reject God, if your parents or your grandparents, or your great-grandparents, or your great-great-grandparents have followed after other gods, then they have rejected God, and the curse of rejection comes upon you, comes upon your family line. And rejection is the means by which the enemy will bring you into submission. This rejection spirit of rejection. Now, great deal is written about rejection. Derek Prince has a little book over there called Rejection, It's Cause and Cure. And he says in it that there are three reactions to a person who is rejected. He says a person can give in to being rejected, and loneliness and self-pity and misery and depression can come in, and you will kill yourself. Suicide and death. Sometimes suicide doesn't come in. Sometimes people will just get so depressed they'll just crawl in a hole and die. This happens a lot to older people. I've seen people become so depressed at the loss of a mate that they will just, an older lady, it happened in my family. Her husband of 80 years died, and when she died, she just sat down and said, I'm coming too, John. I'm coming. I don't want to live anymore. Within 36 hours, she was dead. She just died. She didn't get sick, anything. She just died. She was lonely, depressed, and death came. Death can come to young people. They get sickly and die. Suicide. Lots of people, if you're a little more aggressive, then you take the suicide route. And so you give in, or you can be a person who holds out and says, I'm not going to be rejected. It says that I'm going to overcome it. And so they push to overcome the rejection in their own strength. In their own strength, they push against it. And they try to become the life of the party. And they try to become important in the world system. And you can usually tell them they wear a little too much makeup. Their voice has a little higher pitch. They have a sad look in their eye. And they're pushing and they're trying real hard. The third type is the person who will fight back. And he's the one that will be rebellious. I hadn't done anything wrong. You don't have any right to reject me. You. And he will fight back. And remember that rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. And so that person will go in to try to control the situation and the people around him so that he does not get rejected again and bitterness will set in. And witchcraft. That's an excellent book over there. I really enjoyed reading it. The second way the body, another way of looking at it, was the revelation given to Ida Mae Hammond on schizophrenia. Rejection is always the cause of schizophrenia. It causes biological changes in the body. And it's a very complex thing. And Jesus can sovereignly do anything he wants to. I remember one young lady who came to the clinic, came here 15 years ago. And they brought her out of a mental hospital in a southern state. And her husband was on one side of her and a friend was on the other side who brought them up here. And she was speaking in word salad. Now, a word salad is an endless repetition of words that don't mean anything. It's sort of like speaking in tongues under your own power. You can't do it. And she's just an endless repetition of meaningless words in English were coming out of her mouth. It's called a word salad. It's a demonic manifestation. And they had given up on her. They tried her on all the drugs. They said she'd had her second child. She'd had a postpartum depression. She had developed postpartum schizophrenia. And she had lapsed so deep into schizophrenia that they could not help her. And they tried shock treatments, and they tried all these drugs. And finally, her husband, in desperation, signed her out of the hospital and brought her up here spouting the word salad. And being new to deliverance, I didn't know any better. I laid hands on her and began to pray for her during one of the mass deliverance services, and God in His grace sovereignly touched her and broke through. It's the only time I've ever seen that happen. And it set her free. So that she came into her right mind. And I saw her every camp meeting for 3 years and prayed for her. And her husband got her into a good Bible-believing church and got good people to stand with her. And they got Frank and Adamai Heyman's book, and they followed it very carefully. And they carefully worked with her. And then she'd come up here, and we'd work with her. And the last, I got a letter from her about 8 years ago, and she's now living in California. She's had two more children. Her husband had finished college. He was a graduate student in ornamental horticulture. And her husband, they're now living in California, and she's walking in deliverance, and she's walking in freedom. And that was my introduction into schizophrenia and deliverance. As I said, I've never seen anybody else spouting a word salad outside of a mental institution either. You don't see it now because they've got so many drugs that they can use. But depression can either be, rejection, one of two things will happen to you when you're rejected. Now you have to understand that Jesus says, in this life, offenses will come. That everybody is going to be offended and rejected. Now, in the natural, if you're walking in the natural in your own strength, one of two things will happen when you get rejected. Number one, you will internalize it. It will come into you, and you will say, I am an unworthy person. That is the reason they rejected me. I am unworthy. It was my fault. I am unworthy. Shame comes in. Guilt comes in. Self-condemnation comes in. And you say, rejection is a lack of love. Therefore, I need to find love from the world system. And there's only, all you got to do is watch television and you'll see the devil's answer for love is lust. And so you go into, say, they go into sexual lust, sexual fantasy, pornography, eventually into whoredom, idolatry, or perversion. If you externalize it, and then they go into shame, degradation, depression, suicide. If they externalize it and they get angry and they say, no, you got no right to reject me. What do you mean doing? What do you mean offending me? And they've come into rebellion. And they rebel against the authority of whoever has offended them, who may or may not be aware that he or she has done anything wrong. I was standing in the entrance to Emmanuel, to the church I go to, 6 years ago. And I was standing there, and I was on call, and I have a pager on my side, you know, and I'm standing there, and I see this lady whose husband had died about 2 years previously. That's a widow. And that I administered to a lot. I see her coming in, and she has someone with her, and my pager goes off. And I see her, and I turn, and I go to the telephone, and they said, would you please call the nursery right away? And so I call the nursery, and they said, would you get down here right now? We need you. We have a baby that's not breathing. So I hang up the phone, and I leave immediately. Well, now, what I didn't know was that that lady had a man that she wanted to marry, who was a spirit-filled Roman Catholic, or at least she said he was spirit-filled. And she was coming to bring him over to the Pentecostal church to meet me and the pastor. And I saw her coming, and I walked out the door and did not speak to her. Well, she got angry, and she left the church, and she wrote the pastor this scalding letter, how I had offended her, how I had purposely slighted her, how I knew that that was a Roman Catholic that she had, and she'd have me know that he was spirit with the Spirit of God just like I was, and I had no right to hate Catholics like that, and on and on and on. I mean, it was a four-page epistle of, what had happened was she had felt rejected by me. And she had gone and she had rebelled and said I had no right to treat her that way. And she went off into fantasy and into paranoia and left the church over it. Mm-hmm. And she eventually came back when she realized that she had made a mistake. And the family had rejected her, and she came back, and we supported her through the death of her second husband by cancer. And then she, after that, she left and went to another Pentecostal church. She eventually came to me and asked forgiveness. She eventually came and said, I'm sorry. I called the lady and apologized. I read the letter, and I called and apologized and told her I was sorry, and I told her what happened, and I was sorry, and I certainly did not mean to offend her, and I asked her to please forgive me. And that's rebellion. And so you come into rebellion and accusation and stubborn self-will and self-deception and bitterness and witchcraft. And the root of bitterness will set in. I could sit all day and talk about this because this system, as it feeds on itself, brings in mental illness. And you bring in someone, builds a schizophrenic personality, one in which they internalize it, and one which they rebel against it, and these two personalities are clashing all the time, and it's just a tornado going on and on, and you never know which one you're going to hit. Sometimes it's going to be that one that'll sit and cry, and sometimes that one will just tear you apart. And they're jealous and suspicious and so forth. And that's the root is rejection. And you can have any of that combination. Lots of them, that's the reason that schizophrenia is probably the most common mental illness in this country today. It's estimated that millions of people have it. I don't want to put a figure on it because I don't remember what the figure is. But it is the most common mental illness today because we live under the curse of rejection. And the rejection spirit will speak to you, in you, behind you, around you. And he will set up the circumstances and interpret them for you and give you an idea that you have been insulted, that you have been mistreated, or else that you're worthless and no good. And so the sins of the fathers bring in rejection. And rejection brings in schizophrenia and all its evil consequences. Those of you who don't have a copy of The Pigs and the Paul, I suggest that you get it and read it. Because I personally believe that 80 or 90% of the illnesses that we deal with in spirit oppression have at least part of a root cause in rejection, in the curse of rejection that has come down. We have other curses that come down. But rejection plays a tremendous part. And so we have rejection. Praise the Lord God. Now, what is the cure for rejection? We all get it. Well, the cure is that Jesus said, if they reject me, they're going to reject you. And Matthew 21:42 says, he was the stone that the builders had rejected had become the cornerstone. There's Luke 9:22 says he would be rejected. And he was rejected for you. Let's look at Isaiah 53. Starting with verse 1 on Isaiah 53 says, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness. When we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrow, acquainted with grief or pain, illness. We hid as we were our faces from him. We despised him and we did not esteem him. And then it says, surely he is borne our sorrow, our griefs, which is our illnesses, and carried our sorrows, which are our pain. So he's borne our infirmities and carried our pain. We esteemed him stricken and smitten by God, afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we healed. We've all gone astray. Each has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity or rebellion and its evil consequences of us all. You remember that in Lamentations, Jeremiah says, and we bear the iniquity. That's the evil consequences of rebellion. And here it says that that God laid that iniquity on Jesus Christ who bore it away from us. We don't have to bear the consequences of the sins of our fathers. Now keep your finger there and let's go over to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You see, the law said a man who does these things shall live by them. But then verse 12 says, the man who does these things shall live by them. But Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And if you go to verse 29, verse 28 says, there is no Jew nor Greek, there is no slave nor free, male nor female, you are all one in Jesus Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And so, as you claim your deliverance from the curse. Now, there are some people who teach that the curse, deliverance from the curse, is automatic with salvation. That's what they say. They say if when you accepted Jesus Christ, that the breaking of this curse was automatic. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go back to Isaiah 53 then and see what it says. It says here that he bore our illness and our sorrows and took the chastisement of our peace, and by his stripes we are healed. Now, that's an accomplished fact. Don't say we will be healed. It says we are healed. And 1 Peter says we have been healed. It's something that's already been done. I see sick Christians walking around, folks. Now, Jesus will heal you, but you got to claim it and you got to stand for it. Yeah. He'll bear your pain, but you got to claim it. He'll stand and stand for it. It says in 2 Corinthians 8:9 that yet while he was rich, that he became poor for our sakes, that we might, because he bore our poverty, we might have his riches. Got to claim that too. He bore our sin. You have to claim the the deliverance of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like you have to claim your salvation. Because Jesus died for the whole world, John 3 says, that the world might be saved. But is the whole world saved? No, they have not accepted it and claimed it in faith. And so you claim this breaking of the curse in faith. You speak it out. You've got to speak it. You've got to put it in the airways. You can't think it. Because the demons have got to hear you. Jesus said, if you hear, if they hear you, they'll hear me. When you're speaking in faith in my name, demons have to hear you. Demons have to hear you. They can't not hear you when you're speaking in faith and spirit and standing in the Spirit of God. They have to hear you. And so you speak it forth in faith and set it in the airways. Now, you don't have to stand up and announce it from the rooftop. You can say it very quietly under your breath. That's all day long I say I bind you. I bind you, I bind you, I bind you. I say whenever anything that I don't think is of God comes on me, I say I bind you in the name of Jesus. I just keep saying it. And I don't say it out. I don't go out saying I bind you, I bind you, I bind you. I say I bind you. Bind you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Feel that oppression of the enemy coming, my head starts to hurt. Say, you witchcraft spirit, I bind you. How dare you try to give me a headache in the name of Jesus. I'm gone. And I know what's happened. When I say that, you know, one day this spring, I was asleep in my bed and I woke up and I felt a weight on my chest and I opened my eyes and there was this big cobra snake sitting right here, just sort of weaving back and forth and looking at me, looking down at me. You know, I pulled a cover up over my head. Shook my eyes, you know, and I rubbed my eyes and I pulled the cover back and he was still there and he was heavy on my chest. And I said, Lord, what is going on? He said, you can bind him. And I said, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. And a hand came out of somewhere and with a big iron thing with a chain on it, said, Hunk! And then another one on this side and another one down here. And those chains straightened out and then two angels hauled that booger out of my room, my bedroom, man. I said, oh, how about that? And then I looked and there was this big black widow spider that had a body as big as a wash tub. Now I never liked spiders. Dates from when I was 4 years old and I was watching this little cute little butterfly come down and land on the side of our clapboard house and my nose was about this close to it. And this big old hairy black spider jumped out and grabbed that thing and wrapped it up and it frightened me. I screamed and cried and fear came into me when that happened. That's when the spirit of fear came into me and I was afraid of spiders for years. I still don't like spiders. But I don't have terror hit me when I see one. But anyway, this big black widow spider came in. I looked at him and said, I bind you too. And he's in the same thing. Hands came out. Click, 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 click. And away he went. And then I didn't see anything else. And I said, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I got up, got dressed, and went to work. I said, Lord, what does that mean? And I said, I kept praying, and I kept praying, and I kept thinking, you know. And I said, Lord, I don't know what that means. And so I came down here to camp about a week later, and I shared it with Brother Coffey. And Brother Coffey came back the next day and said, you've been privileged. He said, God showed me last night what that meant. I said, thank you. Please tell me. He said, you've been privileged. You got to see into the spirit world to see what happens when a demon is bound. And I said, oh, because the word bound literally means to tie with chains, if you look it up in the concordance. And then God witnessed to me Psalm 149. Let's keep your finger there in Isaiah 53. I hope I don't get, if I follow, I've gotten into this now. I have to be careful or I won't get out of it. But let's look at Psalm 149, verse 4. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to that set vengeance on the nations and punishment on the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. Dishonor have all of his saints. Praise the Lord. And I said, I see, Lord, I am binding the kings and the nobles that the devil sends against me, that those are in the spirit realm. And that word bind means to fetter with chains. And so what you do is, I don't know how I got into this, but hallelujah, hallelujah. But Jesus was rejected for you. And you claim it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you bind it. Since I got this revelation, I bind it every morning when I get up. I say, Lord, I bind any familial spirits of rejection over me and my household in the name of Jesus Christ. I command that they be gone. Now remember this, that the devil has only got a finite number of demons. He don't have an unlimited number, just like he is not everywhere. The devil is a created entity. He can only be in one place at one time. He's got a highly organized army that keeps track of you, that keeps reporting back up to him. But they have a finite number of demons. You keep binding them, get enough folks binding them, he's going to give out of troops after a while. Now, Colonel Speed Wilson will tell you now that if they're fighting a war and they keep sending troops in there and they keep slaughtered, they will back off of that one and they will look for another way to attack. And so I bind that rejection spirit every morning. Because I realize that when I do that, he's going to try to attack me some other way. But he ain't going to get to me that way anymore in the name of Jesus. Because that spirit can be in you. But he showed me, particularly with lust spirits, with fornication spirits, with rejection spirits, that are familial, means they run in families, witchcraft spirits. Man, those things can follow right behind you. Just sort of follow along behind you. This is particularly true with familiar spirits and spirit guides. One of the times when God had opened my eyes and I was seeing into the spirit world, and I saw all these people. And some people had tremendous number of spirits around them and some did not. I asked the Lord if those were really righteous people who were being attacked, that had all this tremendous multitude of demons. I mean, he said, no, those are the devil's disciples. Those are familiar spirits that whisper wisdom into him and guide him. So, but he will assign one of these spirits. And there are spirits around you that watch your moves, watch every move you make. And write it down. They know you better than you, as well as you know yourself. They can anticipate you. They can't read your mind. Did you know that the devil can't read your mind? Nobody doubts that. Everybody accepts that just point blank, that the devil can't read your mind. Nobody in here wants a scripture for it. Well, I've had some pastors ask me for scriptures for it, and my major scripture used to be in Daniel. When Daniel, Well, Lord Jesus, it's not there. Where is it, Lord? Oh, yeah, here it is. Well, my chief scripture used to be that when Daniel was able to, when the wise men and the sorcerers could not read the king's mind to know what the dream had been. But Daniel knew because he asked Almighty God. But there's a scripture. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 39. It says, the last part of the verse, you know, for you, only you, know the hearts of all the sons of men. Only you, only God. Jeremiah, he says, I know the heart. I discern the heart. Only you. Only God can read your mind. The devil can't read your mind. He's got these jacklegs, or I mean these spirits watching you, learning about you so they can try to anticipate your moves. And so the wise thing, everybody, is keep your mouth shut about your plans. Don't tell the devil about them. A lot of folks make plans, talk out loud. You just talk, and the devil's just writing it all down. See how I can interfere with this. See how I can stop this. And when I'm sitting with someone and we're making plans, we bind them. And we say that we speak deafness to them. And we bind them that they can't hear the plans of God, of God's righteous people. That's legal. Two people together. I mean, when you bind them, they are bound. So you can spoil the house. So Jesus was rejected. You bind the spirit of rejection. And you ask God, God, put a wall of fire around me, Lord. Put a wall of fire around me, Lord God. Let's look in Zechariah chapter 2. Verse 5. For I, says the Lord, will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be a glory in her midst. There he's speaking of the heavenly Jerusalem. Speaking of the church. Spirit-filled believers. He said, I'll be a wall and won't need a wall because I'll be a wall around you. Claim that in the name of Jesus Christ. And say, Lord, keep that rejection from wounding me. Now remember that the words themselves can't hurt you. But the words are a curse that sends forth and gives the demonic forces the legal right to wound you. And so what you do is you ask the Lord to put a wall of fire around you, to put his covering around you in the name of Jesus. There's a lot more to it. I would suggest to you, I can sit here and talk about this for another hour and a half, but I'm not. I would suggest to all of you that you get a copy of Pigs in the Parlor, and read Adam A. Hammond's revelation from God on rejection. And see where in that revelation it relates to you. And how you have responded in your flesh to it. So that you feel righteous and justified. For that's what you got to give up. If you want to stay healed, you got to change the way you live. Chain, and you got to let go of that thing, that what we call in psychology a secondary gain, that thing that defense mechanism that you've used to make yourself feel right about it instead of depending on the Holy Spirit. Praise you, Lord. For Jesus was made a curse for you, that you might be delivered from the curse of the law. That you might be delivered from the curse of rejection that has come down on you because of the sins of your ancestors. Because they rejected God and whored after another king. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up. It is said that the brain can only absorb what the fanny can endure. And you've all been sitting for an hour and a half now. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's stand up and praise God. And get our blood circulating again. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord. We give thanks to you, Lord, for your great glory. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory to you, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we praise your name, Lord. Okay. People, I'm going to lead you in a renunciation prayer while you're still standing. And then we're going to sit down and have a mass deliverance service. If some of you have never been in a mass deliverance service before, demonic spirits, the word in Greek is pneumo, like pneumatic tire, like air. Meaning it comes out of the breathing passages. In Hebrew, it means wind or breath. And most demonic spirits leave by your nasal passages, by your air passages. Sometimes you will cough. We've actually, the word to cast out means to give a quick jerk and vomit. And so you sit quietly. You don't pray in tongues. You listen to what the deliverance minister is calling out and agree in the spirit. And if he calls out a spirit you don't think you have, agree with him. It won't hurt you. Don't play the cafeteria. Say, I got this one, don't have that one. Yeah, not that one. Just agree with all of them. And if something happens, you feel a rumbling in your stomach and you feel something coming out of your throat, let it go. If you feel a scream coming out, let it go. Don't worry about your dignity. If it comes down to choosing between your dignity and your demons, let your dignity go. You can get it back. You can get your dignity back, but let your demons go. You don't want them anymore. I presume nobody wants them. That's the reason they're here. And just relax and let it go. Keep both feet on the floor. Don't cross your hands. Don't cross your fingers. Witchcraft sign says, you know, if you cross your fingers, you can tell a lie. And therefore, if you got your fingers crossed, your feet crossed, your knees crossed, the devil says, well, she's just lying. That person really don't want me to go because they got their fingers crossed. That seems silly, but the enemy is a legalist. He's an absolute legalist. And he will use any legal pretense not to leave. And so it's just much better if you don't give him... When you're aware of his wiles, then you don't follow him. Not unaware of his wiles. We're aware of that, and so we don't do that. Therefore, he doesn't have that excuse not to leave. Dear Lord, with honesty of heart, humility of soul, conviction of spirit, do I make the following confession? I've sinned against you. And disobeyed your word. Whether it be through willfulness, ignorance, or curiosity, I do now repent of these sins and ask you to forgive me through the blood of Jesus Christ. But by act of my will, in the name of Jesus, I close all these doors which I've opened to Satan. And I now ask you, dear Lord, to help me renounce all these things and cleanse me in body, soul, and spirit in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the following: the occult, witchcraft, and magic. Seances and clairvoyance. Medians. Familiar spirits. Ouija boards. And all occult games. All fortune telling. Card laying. Palm reading. Tea leaf reading. Crystal balls. And pendulum. I renounce all astrology. And interest in the horoscopes and zodiac. I renounce the heresy of reincarnation. Renounce all hypnosis. Mind reading. Mind control. Second sight. ESP. EST. And parapsychology. Renounce all water witching. Dowsing. Levitation. Body lifting. Table tipping. Psychometric. Automatic writing. Renounce all astral projection. And other mnemonic skills. I renounce all mind control. Power of positive thinking. Positive control salesmanship. And demonic power to impose my will on others. I renounce all sorcery, dependence on talisman, such as St. Christopher's medals, Mary medallions, good luck charms, rabbit foots, four-leaf clovers, wishbones, potions, aluments. And I vow I will destroy such that are in my control or on my person. I vow I will destroy any idol to a foreign god, such as a Buddha, Mexican sun gods, signs of the zodiac, American Indian dolls, voodoo dolls, Egyptian anchoras, pentagrams, or other abominations on my person, under my control. I renounce all literature I've ever read in all these fields. And vow I will destroy such books in my possession. Also destroy any objects, pictures, signs, statues, jewelry, charts, which are on my person, under my control, in my house, in the name of Jesus. I break all curses, hexes, spells, vexes, jinxes, charms placed on me from any occult source. I break the curse of illegitimacy and incest 10 generations back off my family line. I break the curse of rejection off my family line. 10 generations back. I break the curse of idolatry off my family line. I renounce any oaths I or my ancestors ever made to any foreign god, idol, false cult, or false religion. I renounce any initiation rite, any club, brotherhood, lodge, fraternity, sorority, or any order which is of a demonic or witchcraft origin. I break all demonic subjugation, demonic soul ties, or bondage to my mother, to my father, to my parents, grandparents, spouses, ex-spouses, or any other human being, living or dead, who's ever dominated me or controlled me in any way contrary to the will of God. I break all curses of psychic heredity, any demonic hold on my family line as a result of the disobedience of any of my ancestors, spouses, or ex-spouses. I break the curse of physical and mental illness off my family line. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I confess I've committed sexual sin. I do repent and ask forgiveness. I confess I've committed the following. Now here you're just quietly waiting. God brings anything to mind, you just sort of say it under your breath very quietly. Don't worry about what your neighbor's saying, just yourself. And claim cleansing by the blood of Jesus. Your word says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I accept your forgiveness and cleansing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Satan, I notify you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reclaiming all areas that I previously yielded to you. And now close these doors forever. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I have another confession to make. I have not loved, but resented certain people. I confess this is sin. I call upon you, Lord, to help me forgive them. I do now forgive. Now, we'll wait a minute. And anybody that the Lord, the Holy Spirit brings to your mind, if you know you're mad at somebody, you got anger, you got animosity in your heart, got anything unsettled with them, forgive them by name. The Holy Spirit brings anybody to mind. The Sunday school teacher who hurt your feelings 10 years ago, if her name comes, forgive her. Just anybody. Forgive. As Christ, as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. And now, Lord, I ask you to bless these people. And I do now. Forgive myself. In the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that you are the Son of God. You were manifested in the flesh. You died on the cross for my sin. You were buried, resurrected on the third day. You ascended into heaven. And to ever make intercession for me, God is my Father. Jesus is my big brother. I have been accepted into the family of God. I am joint heir with Jesus Christ and heir to the promises. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody sit down and praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Lord, I bind any spirits of rejection now in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse of rejection. These are God's people. I bind the spirit of rejection in the name of Jesus Christ. Rejection by friends, rejection by mother, rejection by father, rejection by friends in the name of Jesus. I bind all the rejection. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. These are not rejected children. These are children of God. Spirits of rejection, I bind you. I break your authority in their lives, and I command you to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I just bind all rejection in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind rejection in the name of Jesus. I bind all fear. Fear of not being loved. Fear of not being wanted. Fear of not being good enough. In the name of Jesus. I bind fear in the name of Jesus Christ. Fear of not being good enough. In the name of Jesus. Go now. All fear. Fear. Legion fear. Fear of water. Fear of death. Fear of men. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Fear of man in the name of Jesus. Fear of illness in the name of Jesus Christ. Fear. I bind you fear in the name of Jesus Christ. The perfect love of the Lord Jesus Christ does drive out all fear, for fear has torment. You can't torment these people anymore. In the name of Jesus, I bind you. I bind you fear in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirit of lust in the name of Jesus Christ. The lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Lust, I bind you and I command you to be gone. Lust, sexual lust, fantasy lust, pornography, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all witchcraft and rebellion in the name of Jesus. All rebellion, be gone. All spirits of rebellion, rebellion against authority, rebellion against God, rebellion against parents, rebellion against the boss, rebellion on the job, rebellion in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I bind rebellion in children. I bind rebellion in parents. In the name of Jesus, be gone, for rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. I bind witchcraft in the name of Jesus. Witchcraft control in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the spirit. I break the authority of the witchcraft mind-controlled spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. And I bind them and I command them to turn these people loose in the name of Jesus. You can draw no power or authority from any other spirit. You can buy no, in the name of Jesus, I bind you and I command you to be gone. All witchcraft, all sorcery. I break the power, the spirit of bondage in the name of Jesus Christ. Bondage to fear. Bondage to witchcraft, fear in the name of Jesus. All bondage. Bondage to alcohol. Bondage to cigarettes. Bondage to sorcery in the name of Jesus. All sorcery spirits. All witchcraft spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. All marijuana spirits. All alcohol spirits. All drug spirits. All Prozac spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. All Valium spirits. I bind you all. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All you drug spirits. All you spirits of pharmacomechi. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave God's people. I bind all spirits of caffeine in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. All nicotine spirits be gone. All spirits of idolatry and the occult. I bind you. I bind the spirit of idolatry in the name of Jesus Christ. I break its authority in the name of Jesus. I break the power of the occult now. All the spirits of the occult in the name of Jesus Christ. All the spirits of idolatry. I bind them. Bind the spirits of yoga in the name of Jesus. Of transcendental meditation in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your authority and command you to be gone in the name of Jesus. Go now. Go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. 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 I break your authority. I break your authority. All men, all spirits of Lamaz in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of Lamaz and witchcraft in the name of Jesus and sorcery and yoga. And I bind the spirit of Kundalima in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits of Kundalima and Hala Yoga in the name of Jesus. And I break their authority in the name of Jesus. All relaxation spirits, go. All spirits, go, go, go. All spirits of yoga. All spirits of Shishang in the name of Jesus, go in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of the occult, all spirits of the Ouija board, I break the curse of the Ouija board. All spirits that have come in from the fortune teller, I break your authority in the name of Jesus Christ. I command you to be gone in the name of Jesus. Go, go. All spirits of the occult in the name of Jesus Christ, I break your authority in the name of Jesus. All spirits of idolatry, go in the name of Jesus. Go, Lord Jesus, I bind the spirit of bitterness now, Lord. I pull out the knife of betrayal. Lord, I bind the spirit of bitterness, Lord, and the errors, Lord, the bitter errors that have been fired against these people in the name of Jesus. I pull out the bitter errors that have been fired in the name of Jesus, and I pull out the root of bitterness in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pull it out. And I put Jesus Christ in the bitter pool. And I break the curse of anger and rage and murder and hatred in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. All anger, rage, murder, and hatred in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you. All spirits of jealousy and paranoia, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone out of God's people. Go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Go. All spirits of inferiority, be gone. All spirits of inferiority and self-pity, I break your authority in their lives. All spirits of self-pity, of false compassion, go. All spirits of self-pity, false compassion, of unworthiness, of shame. Jesus Christ bore our shame. He bore all the shame in the name of Jesus. They'll get double honor for their shame. Shame, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I command you to be gone out of God's people in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 all of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. I break the power of lesbianism in the name of Jesus, of perversion in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of perversion in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse of whoredom in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse of whoredom and perversion in the name of Jesus. I come against the flasher in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse of homosexuality in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of oral genital sex, and I come against the spirits involved in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse of the stubborn self-will. You spirits of stubbornness, stubborn self-will, unteachable spirits, I bind you and I command you to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse of the spirit of stupor in the name of Jesus. Of stupor. Stupor. The curse of unbelief in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of unbelief. I bind the spirit of unbelief. They won't let God's people believe. I come against the curse of the Antichrist in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of the Antichrist and I bind him in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord God. Lord Jesus, you bore our infirmities and our sorrows and our sickness and our pain, Lord. I break the curse of Jezebel over these people. Jezebel, you Jezebel spirits, and I just bind you in the name of Jesus. I break your authority in the name of Jesus and command you to be gone. All Jezebel, all witchcraft and Jezebel, I break your authority in the name of Jesus Christ, and I command you to leave. Don't you tear these people. You just come out in the name of Jesus Christ. And I break the curse of mother's little girl, or daddy's little girl. I speak to the little girl spirits in the name of Jesus. Little girl spirits, I bind you and I command you to come out now. Come on out. Come on out. You can't stay there. I break the curse of rejection. I break the curse of rejection in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of bulimia and anorexia and the little girl spirit and the gluttony spirit in the name of Jesus. And I command it to come out. Come on out. 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 In the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Set your people free now, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord. Let your power come down, Lord God. Let your power come down now, Lord. Oh, God, it's by your power, Lord God. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, your spirit, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, touch your people, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord God. Lord, I break the spirit of heaviness in the name of Jesus. The spirit of heaviness and shame. I bind them in the name of Jesus Christ. I command them to be gone. Go. Go in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord Jesus, I bind the infirmity spirits, all infirmity spirits of hay fever, Lord God, spirits of brain tumors in the name of Jesus Christ, spirits of migraine headaches and brain tumors, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of encephalitis and brain damage, I bind you. And spirits of stroke, I bind you and command you to be gone in the name of Jesus. And I speak healing and restitution. Spirits of ringing in the ears and tinnitus and deafness and vertigo, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Spirits of glaucoma and cataracts, I bind you. Spirits of sinusitis and hay fever and mucus in the name of Jesus and postnasal drip. And spirits of asthma and postnasal drip and pneumonia and infections and bronchospastic reactive airway disease, I bind you and I break your authority in God's people. Spirits of esophagitis and peptic ulcers and heliopora disease, in the name heliobacter disease, in the name of Jesus, I break your authority in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I break your authority. Spirits of gastritis and duodenitis in the name of Jesus and pancreatitis and hepatitis and gallstones and diabetes, I break your authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Command you to be gone. Spirits of enteritis and colitis and Crohn's disease in the name of Jesus Christ, I break your authority. I command you to be gone in the name of Jesus. Spirits of colitis and diarrhea in the name of Jesus, be gone. Spirits of vaginitis and cervicitis, I break your authority. Endometritis, I break your authority. I bind you and I command you to be gone in the name of Jesus. Spirits of cancer of the cervix, cancer of the breast, cancer of the colon, and all the other cancers, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I command you to be gone in the name of Jesus. Go! 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 Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go! 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 All of you, be gone in the name of Jesus. All of you, be gone. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and I break your authority. I command you to be gone in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I bind the spirits of chlamydia, Lord God, and gonococcus in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits of AIDS in the name of Jesus, Lord God. I break their authority. I command them to be gone from God's people. I bind menorrhagia and menorrhea, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, and cystitis and pyelitis in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of varicose veins and claudication, Lord. I bind the spirits of claudication and improper circulation in the name of Jesus and command them to be gone. And I speak to their body, I speak to this flesh, and I say, you line up with the Word of God. I bind the spirits of psoriasis in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of skin cancer in the name of Jesus. Of seborrheic dermatitis, I bind you and I command you to be gone. I bind the spirits of ichthyosis in the name of Jesus Christ. Dry skin and pruritus, I bind you. Itching in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Be gone. I bind all fungal infections of the feet, the body in the name of Jesus. Be gone. I bind all yeast infections and all bacterial infections. Command them to be gone. In the name of Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Lord, I hold up arthritis. I bind the spirit of arthritis in the name of Jesus Christ. Arthritis, I break your authority in their lives. Be gone, arthritis. In the name of Jesus, I bind lupus in the name of Jesus Christ. I command it to be gone. All collagen diseases, be gone in the name of Jesus. I speak healing and restitution to God's people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.